So I would love to hear more about your knowledge regarding exercise and what do you think is the biggest key to using exercise in a way that you can actually effectively lose weight and feel better?
So the most effective way to exercise for feeling better might not be the same exercise for getting the best calorie burn.
Yeah.
Okay? So I know for me, I like intense exercise, but then there's days that I don't like intense exercise. Some days I might want to go on a bike ride or a walk. Now, any exercise is going to improve your quality of life because just movement in general is going to make you healthy and also not that much.
Yeah.
The studies have shown that you can do very little, up to like 20 to 30 minutes, 3 to 4 days a week, to get some fitness benefits.
Right.
So I just want to say, when you say the word exercise to people, sometimes they just kind of check out. But exercise is really doable. So if you think about the components of exercise, let's kind of address that first. There's cardiovascular training, which is working your heart and your lungs. And we all know that if our cardiovascular system is in failure, we're not going to live very long.
Right.
Okay. And then there's strength and conditioning. So looking at your bone mass and your bone density from moving your body against resistance. And there's muscular endurance, which is like repeated movement. So doing something a lot. So lightweight training. Or then there's like just brute strength or power. And that's from lifting very heavy weight for just 1 or 2 repetitions.
Okay.
So all those are the components. Now, one that I really like to talk about also is flexibility, your range of motion, your ability to move freely through space. And all of this will go to pot if you don't use it. So that old adage, use it or lose it, is absolutely true. So for cardiovascular training, like I was saying, if you're just going to focus on your cardiovascular health, you got to get your heart rate up in this training zone, usually between 60 to 80% of your maximal heart rate. You know, when you're in aerobics class, they always want you to take your heart rate and they take it for 6 seconds and you add a zero. And you can do that with as little as 20 to 30 minutes 3 times a week. And cardiovascular exercise is not going to only help your cardiovascular system, but it's going to help your mood. It's going to help relieve stress. It's going to help you sleep better. All exercise will, but that cardiovascular, it is a magic bullet for that.
Yeah. So a lot of people think about just cardiovascular exercise when they're thinking about weight loss, or specifically women think mostly about cardiovascular exercise. But you're saying that cardiovascular is just one component that we should also be thinking about: strength, endurance, and flexibility.
That's right. So the next component I was going to talk about is really one of the most important things. It's called strength training. It's resistance training. So all that means is that 2 to 3 times a week, you're going to put yourself in a situation for 20 to 30 minutes where you're lifting a weight or a resistance greater than your normal daily life. So if you're going to a reformer class, you're using resistance, the resistance of the cables, the resistance of your body, the resistance of the machines to help create that overload. If you're going to a kettlebell class, you're using the resistance of the weight of that kettlebell, the different movements you're using. The best combination for weight loss and quick overall health benefits is to do a combination of those two things, cardiovascular and strength training at the same time. And it's called high intensity interval training or HIIT training.
Yes.
So what you're going to try to do, whether you're doing it just with the cardiovascular on a treadmill or you're doing a combination of weight training intervals with cardiovascular, you're trying to push your maximum out of your cardiovascular zone into your anaerobic zone. So anaerobic just means it's really hard and I can't do it for very long.
Yeah.
Whereas cardiovascular is I can pretty much stay in this steady state for a good long time. And both are good. But when you combine them in intervals with recovery and push and recovery and push, what you're doing is you're setting up a metabolic state in your body where you're creating an oxygen debt that takes some time after the exercise to replete. So that just means like a car after it's gone on a long road trip and it comes home and it has to sit in the driveway and it's hot to cool down.
Yeah.
It's the same concept for your body. So if you push your body outside its comfort zone with this kind of training, then your body's going to take a while to recover. And that's a good thing because it burns more calories, gives you more results in a shorter period of time. Plus, you're getting the double whammy of bone mass, muscle mass, and cardiovascular in a really short time. So why spend more time if
Yes.
you can get it done?
Yes. And the glucose debt, in addition to the
Right.
oxygen debt, so the energy debt of burning out everything that you have and then having to go in and store calories as stored energy again. I think that that's really beneficial.
Right. So it's like cleaning out the bank account so that you can refill it with an energy debt, but also with the calories that you're going to be taking in next.
Yes.
Because we all got to eat on a regular basis, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So high intensity interval training, I just want to give you some examples of where you can find it at the studio. Like I said before, that 29-minute cardio tramp class is awesome. The cardio kettlebell class is awesome. It's the same principle here where you're doing high intensity interval training with small breaks in between.
Yeah, and I've done both of those classes actually, and I really liked both of them. And what I like about your shorter classes is that you can go and you can work really, really hard and get back to your life pretty quickly. A lot of gyms and facilities offer 60-minute classes and only 60-minute classes. And I think that when you're doing something that high intensity, you really shouldn't be doing it for 60 minutes. So I think it's great that you're offering that so people can do a shorter class.
I come from the paradigm shift of the 80s and 90s where more exercise was better. And so I was like on the treadmill hamster. I was like a hamster at a treadmill. It did nothing to help with my body composition.
Right.
Okay. I was also eating a lot of carbs back then. So I'm very, very committed to getting people the results that they want in a short amount of time because we're all busy.
Yeah.
So yeah, high intensity training is the way to do it. Now, other workouts are just as great. Like I said, I love to go bike riding. It's great for my hip. I love to go walking. It's great for my head.
Yeah.
I also like to do Zumba because it's fun.
Yeah.
So all of those activities are great. But if you're looking for the shortest method to get those results, especially in a fat loss program and in changing your metabolic engine, I would recommend that high intensity interval training.
I think so too. And I think that the short classes are doing those strength and endurance cardio classes all at the same time. There's a lot of benefit in learning to do that in a class so that you can get some ideas, because some of the people that have the hardest time struggling with finding an exercise program are people that travel a lot. So learning in that setting so that if you're in a hotel room or you're in another city and you don't really need any equipment or anything, you just need to know how to do some of these exercises, you can really learn in a class what to do when you don't have any equipment or tools.
Absolutely. And, you know, your body weight is enough.
Yeah.
Try doing some jumping jacks and some burpees and then, you know, do an interval of push-ups or side planks or lunges. I mean, I couldn't do this for more than 20 to 29 minutes.
Right.
Especially by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like going to a class, but, you know, not everybody can do that. And we've come up with a video series for T-schoolers as well, where we have very short 12 to 15 minute workouts. Now, a lot of them do not have the interval training because they're concentrating on a certain body part. But again, learning in the class, you can do some of the exercises that they're showing and then take a moment and do 60 jumping jacks or 20 jumping jacks.
That's great.
So you learn how to create that for yourself.
Yeah, and that brings me to another question that I have. I know when I tell my patients that I want them to do Pilates, I love that they can learn how to use their own body weight and they can learn in a classroom how to then do some of that exercise at home when they need to do some things at home. Where do you think Pilates fits in to a weight loss program? Why do you like it so much?
Well, I like Pilates because, number one, I think it's kind of like golf. I'm not a golfer, but I think when you start to use your body from the perspective of the basic principles that you learn in the Pilates classroom, is that you come to appreciate the connections and the power and the strength of working in symmetry.
Okay?
So it's like I used to be a trainer. When I would train people in the weight room, we would isolate the biceps, and then we would isolate the triceps, and then we would isolate the quadriceps. Mm-hmm. And all of that's good, and I think that's fantastic. But the thing I like about Pilates is it isolates many, many groups at once, so it's efficient.
Mm-hmm.
I also like the length of the muscle that it develops, because it's not a short, tight muscle. It gives you that flexibility training and strength training at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's the mind-body connection, the flexibility, and the strength training. But it also is a great foundation for you to be an athlete, to do other activities on top of it, because it always brings you back home. You'll know how to lift better. You'll know how to run better. You'll know how to walk better. It is a great foundation. So use it for some of your high intensity, the cardio sculpt classes or the cardio kettlebells or the cardio tramp class. But the reason I have fitness classes in addition to Pilates classes is I think that there's a good balance to be found in both.
I think so too. And I love how Pilates teaches you to use your own body and your own weight in natural movements that actually develop opposing muscle groups. And I don't think there are any machines that are going to be as good at that, minus the reformer. I mean, that's great. I really like that a lot. But the ones that isolate specific muscles, you're not developing balanced muscles. And I think you're more susceptible to injury. And as we both know, if you injure yourself, you're kind of out of the exercise game.
Yes, that's another great point. Pilates will teach you about your limits and about your connections and about your balance so that you can be less prone to injury and also just know your body's limits more.
Mm-hmm.
So Pilates is awesome. I'm a little bit biased, but I am not a Pilates diva. I just think a little bit of Pilates goes a long way.
I agree. And I think even for people with injuries that don't know how to get started, I don't care what your injury is, whether it's foot, knee, back, anything. If you have an injury, you can find Pilates exercises that can build you back up until you're ready to do something else.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think that's a great place to start because you get empowerment by being able to do the things you can do rather than feeling like you're sidelined.
Well, and I was so, so grateful to you because Zumba is one of my favorite things to do and I couldn't do it, right? And you helped me get back into shape to where my structure was working and then I could do it again. And I was so happy about that because I do tell my patients sometimes, you know, physical therapists are great and maybe get a really good Pilates instructor.
A lot of physical therapists are referring to us because of that. And a lot of physicians now are saying, oh, it's great work. So
it's great.
That Joseph Pilates, he knew what he was doing. Yeah. He was a little bit odd, but he made a great, great practice of exercise. Yeah.
And so tell me about starting your day with some Pilates. Do you do that?
Yes. I like to do a little warm-up stretch as part of my morning practice. Mm. Now, if I don't have to be at work at 6 a.m. and I can take a bike ride, I'll admit I like to get out on my bike, especially when it's nice like it is right now. But in the morning, I'll do, in addition to my affirmations, I'll just put my affirmations to play in the background. I'll do a morning stretch, and then from there, I'll go into what's called the ab run, which is a series of exercises combining half rollbacks, rolling like a ball, hundreds, different things to wake up my core. And then I'll do some sideline leg lifts to wake up my glutes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can maybe a few planks to wake up my abdominals and my extensors, and just takes you maybe 6 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, you could do less than that if you wanted to.
And do you have a video with some of those on the website? That's good. Yes. So if somebody doesn't know what those are, then
absolutely,
that's good.
Yes. You can go to our website and there's going to be 10 different workouts that you can do. No, you're right. It doesn't.
So I love this because I really think that it's a good thing to do to wake up your muscles in the morning. And oftentimes you and I will have kind of the same perspectives on what you should do, and we'll have different reasons that we think you should do it.
Right.
So I think it's great to kind of get the body up and moving. And also, I'm always really interested in what can you do to work with your physiology so that everything is more effective, that you're working with what your body actually wants to do. And it wants to spike stress hormone in the morning in a good way, not too much. It wants to surge the stress hormone to get you up and going for the day. And your body wants to spike growth hormone in the morning. That's the natural part of your natural circadian rhythm. When you're following that natural rhythm, it also facilitates the normal sleep rhythm at night. So it helps with your energy level and your stress levels and your growth hormone levels throughout the day. So growth hormone levels have an important role in how well we develop muscle and lose weight and our energy and metabolism. So when we start our day with that natural rhythm and we support that rhythm, then we're doing more than just burning calories. So it's not just calories in, calories out. We're doing more than burning calories. We're actually jump-starting our metabolic process so that we're getting more out of the rest of our day metabolically. So that's one of the reasons that I think movement in the morning is really, really important.
Wow, now I like it even more. That's a huge benefit.
Yeah.
I also read some story, a study about people that exercise in the morning before 1 o'clock in the afternoon have a greater ability to sleep soundly at night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because our stress hormone levels and our sleep hormone levels are directly opposing. So we should have higher stress hormone levels in the morning. And when that happens and they taper off throughout the day, then our sleep hormones naturally go up at night.
I see. So you're saying if you can do it, get up and move in the morning as part of your morning practice to
yes.
get those hormones in line to help you with get the best results.
Yes. And so one of the things that I have to catch myself when I talk about stress hormone levels is sometimes I can confuse people a little bit because you see ads about cortisol or stress hormone causing weight gain. Mm-hmm. Well, anytime we're talking about any hormone, anything related to the hormone systems, we need to remember that there is an optimal range and too much is bad and too little is bad. And metabolic changes can happen on either end. So we want to spike cortisol in the morning. We want to spike stress hormone. That doesn't mean we want it to be high all day long. And it doesn't mean we want it to be excessively high.
And do most people have an issue with cortisol, or is it people that are just chronically under stress?
Well, there are lots of people that have issues with stress hormone level, and it's not always an issue of having too much emotional stress. Okay. Sometimes we have physical stressors that are significant. Sometimes we're taking medications that are significant on our stress hormone levels. So some people will say, oh, well, you know, I really don't have a very stressful life. But sometimes they still have stress hormone problems because really bad allergies can stress the system. When we look at studies on animal models and they're studying stress, they're not, you know, saying emotionally abusive things to the mice. They're stressing them physically. They're getting them really cold, or they're making them swim for too long. They're doing things to them that cause physical stressors because we know that that will cause spikes in those stress hormones. We're making them stay up too long and not take any naps or not eat enough. So there are lots of things, even just not eating enough and exercising too much can cause major spikes or drops in the stress hormone levels.
I see. So just like anything else in life, you're saying there is an optimal balance.
There's an optimal balance. Too much is bad. Mm-hmm. Not enough is bad. If you don't have enough, you'll be tired. You won't develop muscle very well. It is one of our natural steroid hormones, so we do want enough to keep us going. If you have too much, you'll gain abdominal weight.
So on that note, on the exercise thing, about overtraining, can we talk a little bit about overtraining?
Yes, and that's the cortisol thing is one of the most important pieces of overtraining, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because I often will see people who overtrain, and when they overtrain, their cortisol levels go up. That alone throws off a lot of the other hormone levels that affect metabolism to the point where the more they exercise, the more they start to suppress things that promote metabolism.
Right. Well, I remember back in the day, I'm always talking about this, I just would plant myself for hours on cardio machines or
yes.
teach a million step classes or spin classes. And I probably weighed another 20, 25 pounds greater than I do right now.
Yeah.
And I really thought I was doing it right, but that I was actually just undermining my ability to be effective with my fat loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people do it for all kinds of reasons, but what I'm trying to get at home is that it's a waste of time.
It's if you're doing it because you think that's how you lose weight,
right?
Then you should stop doing that.
Right.
If you're doing it because you genuinely enjoy running for a long time, then that's one thing. But it's not the way that we effectively promote our metabolism. Because when we do too much, and too much for you and too much for me might be different things, but when we do too much, that's when we start to get some metabolic slowdown in the way of shifting our thyroid so that it slows down our metabolism, suppressing our female hormones or male hormones so that it slows our metabolism down a little bit. So we have ways of compensating for over-exercising. And even, you know, on different days, we might have different exercise needs. So the important thing is not to do too much just because you think that that will make you lose weight.
I think you bring up a very good point because not everyone is the same. So you really have to pay attention and keep track of your exercise in your journal to say, how did I feel today? Did I feel better from that workout?
Yeah.
Did I feel, you know, overstressed? Did I feel too tired?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point. When people ask me, I try to guess when I talk to them how long I think they should exercise. But when people ask me, I always tell them, if you are exhausted and cranky after, you did too much. I mean, it's okay to be physically tired, but if 2 hours later you're still tired, it's too much. And if you relatively soon after are energized and feel better, that's probably good. I mean, we need to pay attention to those things.
So in a general wrap-up of this discussion, if someone came to me and said, so how much exercise is enough for me?
Yeah.
Well, given that response you just said, do you have an opinion about that?
I do. And if I were talking to someone one-on-one, I might have a different answer. But in general, I totally agree with you that, you know, 20 to 30 minutes of high-intensity interval training, however that looks for you, is going to be a really reasonable starting place. So if you don't know if you can handle more or less, then I think that's a really, really good starting place. And it's in alignment with the recommendations of the Center for Disease Control in the United States. They say we need a minimum 5 days a week, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I would say that that's reasonable for most people.
So if I was going to put that on a calendar, I'm just trying to give people a visual image for that. So for me, this is what I like to do. I like to do at least 2 times a week the high-intensity interval training because it takes me a little longer to recover. Now, if I get that third one in, I'm great, but I don't push myself. At the bottom of my activity pyramid is walking or just general movement.
Yeah.
Park away from the storefront, walk, just get as much movement as you can. So walking or biking. Then that high-intensity interval training or strength training would be the next layer. And then at the very top is just sitting around.
Yeah.
Right. But flexibility, they don't really put that on the pyramid.
Right.
And the flexibility training, I think as we get older, we need to do that all 5 days a week.
It's important.
Yes.
And I think that's a good part of a morning routine. So I think we both agree that there may be some things that you should do to kind of start your day in the morning to get your body going. And so that's different. How that looks is different for everybody. But I think flexibility is a really important component. And you bring up another point, too, that something like walking, that's on a different scale from high-intensity interval training. And I think it definitely has a place in your activity level. For myself, if I were going for an extended speed walk, I might count that as exercise. But my walking the kids to school in the morning with the dog, I don't count that. That doesn't necessarily count that for me as a workout because I'm walking slowly and it's a leisurely activity.
Right.
You know, and so I think it's really important. I do sometimes see people walking really slowly with their dog and they stop every few feet and, you know, they don't go very far. That's great. You should definitely be doing that. It's good for your mental health. It's good for you to get fresh air. But we can't count that as a workout, right? For me,
no, because if you really want to change your body, you can't stay in a comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think the way I was talking about walking is it's just part of the base of my everyday activity.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Right? And you will get health benefits from it.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to change your body composition, your size, everything, your metabolism and how good you feel, you've got to get those 2 to 3 days of high-intensity training. And make sure you get some recovery days in between.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I said.
All right.
Yeah.